So that was. That was Princess Bride.
Yeah. Constantly coughing through the movie. Yeah. The entire time I was going, God damn, just the COVID jokes through here.
The masks will always be favourite.
Yeah.
So I think we have
they're really comfortable. Everyone will be wearing them.
Okay,
the
so Jeanette, what did you think of
Princess? They're going to start with Mackenzie.
Yeah.
Oh, Mackenzie.
I tried to make her watch it years ago and she just did not want a bar of it.
So, Mackenzie, what do you think?
Princess Bride.
You were saying you had a lot to say.
Hang on. Tell them what you were telling me right after the movie.
So, the thing was that they didn't do enough kissing scenes. So, I'm going to have to give it a 5 out of 10. But then, the food is pineapple on pizza because it's overrated.
Oh, how
but I love it!
Do you know what?
It's
no.
a core statement.
I can get behind her, though, because she loves pineapple on pizza, though, which means that she enjoyed the movie.
Yes.
Except
the only point I'd like to make
you
is...
You said you wouldn't have liked it.
Yeah, the point I'd like to make is... Pineapple does not belong on pizza.
That is being edited out of the podcast. It's being beat.
And I agree with that.
I will jump on to Jeanette's computer at like 4 a.m. to delete the footage.
So, for the record, after watching it, Mackenzie was like, there was too much kissing. So, if I was to rate it out of 10, I'd have to give it a 5. And I said, well, what about if the kissing was with your shadow boy? And so that's where we've changed our mind and said there wasn't enough kissing. So we have to rate it 5 out
because
of 10.
I want
to
kiss my shadow boy like 10,000 times in a movie.
Shadow boy?
It's any drawing of a boy with shadows on it, like shading. That's what makes boys cute, is like good
shading. Is not being able to see them as clearly? Is that what you're saying?
It's an artist.
Just wait, I'll just adjust
it. It's not a face mask.
It's like getting the shadows on the face perfect.
Yeah. I'll just adjust the lighting.
It's an artist thing. Yeah.
Sorry, that was a win.
It's a pineapple on pizza win.
I'm just so glad you enjoyed it. There was a few times I'm going, is she completely tuned out? And she's like, no, she was on.
I'm on it. Pineapple on pizza. I've worked it out. It's very hard to convince people to enjoy it and love it and that it's the right thing. But once you get behind it, you can't get over
it.
Pineapple on pizza, you will just become so enthralled by. And that's what's happened here. So, yeah. All right. Alex.
Just like a pizza is very, very cheesy.
Yes, we'll work around that way. Cheesy. So it's cheesy pineapple.
Yeah. I think it's just because it's so earnest. And like, yes, it's ridiculous, but we're going with it because that's the point.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be optimistic and cheesy and just going like, we're doing the most ridiculous thing and it's going to work, and it works.
Mm. Yes.
So you've only kind of watched it on your computer.
Like years ago,
How was it watching it with a group of people on a bigger screen?
Yeah, and also just like getting the vibes of the room as well.
Yes.
And we can really cheer and laugh. And that's the fun.
Yes.
I've given the audience rather than just being sequestered.
Full disclosure, I cheer and laugh when it's just me in the room with some of those scenes. They're so good.
Lisa, you're just a different kettle of
fish.
So Lisa didn't like some of the cameos. What did you think of some of the cameos?
Did you care about them?
Some of the famous cameos, as in like Billy Crystal as Magic Max. And I didn't recognise who Cardinal Wolsey was.
Peter Cook.
Peter Cook. So Peter Cook was in the, 60s, 70s?
Yeah.
He was in a bit of...
Peter Cook and Dudley Moore.
Yeah, that's it. Peter Cook and Dudley Moore, yeah. And that
Peter
was one of those...
Peter Cook was a chain smoker, though, is he? It's like a eucalyptus tree.
And I think that's what ended up getting him not long after that movie came out. But he was, and that was the thing, he was incredibly clever and incredibly funny, he was just always that little bit overshadowed by Dudley Moore.
Yeah, Peter Cook and Dudley Moore were a comedy duo that used to do very witty.
Yes.
Very. They did an underground series of comedy skits as
Derek and Clive. Yes, yes.
And that was just pure swearing.
My dad was a fan of Derek and Clive, he got me to watch. He was introducing me to a lot of shows like The Goon Show and Monty Python and things like that. And it was like, you need to sit down and watch a bit of cooking and more, you know.
Dudley Moore and Arthur, wasn't it? The Arthur movie.
Yes.
But the movie they were in together was Peter Cook and Dudley Moore. They're in a movie Bedazzled, where Peter Cook played the devil and Dudley Moore played a poor victim.
Yeah, Brendan Fraser, Liz Hurley. That's a remake of that original movie.
Remake of Bedazzled, So very good.
It's really, really funny. Old people talking about cameos. Like, we watched
Mel Smith. You've seen Mel Smith before?
Probably not.
Yeah. I was thinking, not the 9 o'clock news, Smith and Jones, you know, all of that really early, you know, pre Blackadder, Rowan Atkinson stuff.
Yeah,
was all
no,
Mel
I'm
Smith.
Just.
It was all British TV stuff.
This is what it's going to be like, right? The young people are going to be sitting on one side of the table as, like, the millennials go, oh my God, and do you remember that time that such and such showed up in the Avengers movie? Like, Nathan Fillion showed up in the Guardians of the Galaxy. Do you remember that cameo? And the other people will be going, who on earth is that? And we're just sitting here going,
oh, here's the 17 shows you've never seen.
Yeah, and here's some more names of other people. And here's some more irrelevant information.
The thing that...
Don't try and explain it.
No, no, no. The thing is, I never thought it would happen.
Never seen it before.
Give it 10, 20 years, and then suddenly you'll go, oh, I'm one of those old people that's bringing up the old
days. That's exactly what I was saying.
Yeah.
But we'll be doing it with relevant stuff like the Avengers.
Yeah.
Because our stuff's just not relevant.
That's old now, too.
That's going to be a cult classic.
The biggest movies in human history, and I'm not sure it's considered cult. It's just popular.
Yeah. I think it's too popular to ever be cult.
It had a cult following initially, but being good doesn't mean that it's a cult thing if everybody likes it.
It
just
doesn't have to be good.
To be
means
fair,
it's a beloved
in terms of
thing.
Cult classic, the original Incredible Hulk TV show is something that we'll probably have to watch at some point in time. Because
there's Lou Ferrigno that.
Yeah. And it's just something that isn't popular at all, but at the time was probably quite,
It was, of course, in Marvel they had all these TV series that were just incredibly bad.
Yeah.
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
I remember sitting somewhere that Japan turned Spider-Man into a, it was like a kaiju show, and it was a huge mecha show, where they had Spider-Man riding a huge robot of some kind.
I've seen bits of that. The Japanese Spider-Man TV show was peculiar.
So, Lisa, you were making noises all the way through that.
Look, and when you're doing it with a group as well, I'm like, get on it. But there's times when I've watched the movie by myself lying on the couch and just gone, just get so excited and I laugh and I really... Yeah. It is one of those movies that it takes you on a real voyage.
Are you almost to the stage where you recognise every word and so you recognise the...
Kind of. But then sometimes I'll go, I've never picked that nuance before. You know, I'm always kind of picking up new things.
I did too. There were things I picked up this time that I don't remember seeing before. And I think this was possibly a better quality version than what I've watched before. So the details of the cliffs, for instance, I could see they are the cliffs of Mahoon Island this time. Because before it just looked like a fantasy scene. Yeah.
And I said earlier, like, the version that we watched was one that was taped off of Beta. And I even remember there were certain scenes. And it was funny, like, even when they leave Inigo and it's like, come on. And he's like, I'm waiting. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's when the ads used to kick in. I always remember the bits when the ads used to kick in when I was a kid.
You always remember those bits. Because you're watching the same tape and it's the same thing.
And it's different when it doesn't then suddenly stop and then go into ads for the next couple of minutes and actually just go straight into the next scene.
We used to have a copy of Star Wars Revenge of the Sith, and it would get to the end where Anakin's been turned into Darth Vader, and he's going, Padme, where is Padme? And Sidious goes, I'm afraid in your anger you killed her. But it was cut into multiple parts, and the beginning of the second part started with General Grievous ditching his cloak, going, I was trained in your Jedi arts by Count Dooku. And it ended at the, I'm afraid in your anger you killed her. So how it literally sounded was, I'm afraid in your anger you killed Dooku. And every single time I watch the movie now, I cannot unsee it.
Yes, yes. Yes.
Every single time.
Angus.
When you were reacting to everything and you were talking about reacting to everything, the one thing that, like, the strongest urge I had while watching that was to duck off and grab the foam swords and just run around waving it again.
Leading up to today, I was like, oh, I'd love to have a bit of a sword fight while that scene's going on, but then I just love watching it. It's so
cool. We've got the two multiple swords. Oh. Yeah. Have a crack at it in
that
post.
One and the one with, is it Vizek? When they're doing the Battle of Wits.
Oh, yeah.
Those two scenes are like masterpieces.
Yeah. And as we know, Australia's peopled by criminals.
So is this the best sword fight in all of...
I don't watch a lot, so I don't have it. And it's not something that I would go, oh, I want to watch something with sword fighting. Yeah. I want to watch something with action. To me, I just remember this as a kid. So our old beta copy, rest in peace wherever it is, I just remember the tracking getting really dodgy in some of these sections of the movie because we would just rewind it and rewatch it, rewind it.
Ah, yes, good old VHS.
Oh, no, beta.
Video.
I'm a medieval person. I really like medieval stuff. I like sci-fi as well, but kind of I like them both equally. And I've watched, like, a lot of stuff with sword fighting. I recently went through and watched the Conan the Barbarian movies and just, like, real top-tier content.
Yes! You said you were watching 80s, some of those, 80s,
don't you? I was talking 80s Schwarzenegger.
Yeah. I've watched the recent-ish one from, like, 2010 or something.
I heard they might have been a series from, like, the 30s or something.
Awful.
I just threw it at you and said, this is awful.
I mean, I was going to say it was bad, but they all kind of are, so it was brilliant. And it's weird because that is one of the most, it feels fluid. And people do, a lot of medieval fights that people do are great big arcs with swords.
They're big broadswords and stuff, aren't they?
Yeah, like Lord of the Rings is a big one where they're cutting and hacking, and Game of Thrones again. It very much is. Yeah. And there's the movies like Three Musketeers and stuff, but
these are not musketeer swords, aren't they? They're quite thin, long ones.
None of the Three Musketeer sword fights I can remember.
No,
and the more recent ones,
the Errol Flynn one prior to this was also
Three Musketeers.
That wasn't Three Musketeers. That
was Robin Hood. Robin Hood.
Yeah.
So that's medieval.
Yeah,
that was sword fight.
Douglas Fairbanks.
Yeah. Douglas Fairbanks was in a few swashbuckling. Yeah.
But the thing is, as well, is that just modern filmmaking has gone away from that thin, quick sword fighting style because the recent Three Musketeers movies. There's been one individual with the rapier, and then there's usually one individual with pistols, and I think the more recent one had one of the musketeers with this great big hammer. And he was Porthos. So it's the big strong one. They're stepping away from it. That movie was atrocious.
I would really like to interject because in modern filmmaking, you've got one of two at the moment, and the better filmmaking when it comes to medieval stuff. And this just comes down to the making of the Witcher TV series. They shortened the long swords and basically had the actors use half swords and quarter swords in order to get that very quick motion. I'd say this is a really, really good sword fight, but I think that there is a sword fight that trumps it more because of the way that
the Cavill stuff
and the other
And for filmmaking purposes, if they want to have those close shots, it makes more sense to have the shorter swords because, and you see with Princess Bride, with that scene, they had to have those long shots.
But they also cut the swords down to the hilt, so the actors were swinging the weapons and then they added the swords in place. Some of the manoeuvres were like, okay, that's like
right. What, in Princess Bride? Or? No, Witcher.
He uses a long sword. But he uses it one-handed, and in this fight, he's using a long sword, and he ends up pulling out a dagger or disarming her and taking a dagger. But the long sword's hilt in the making of is still about the same length as a dagger, so that he can get those really fast.
They used multiple weapons. So they used short weapons that are really, really short for the quick movements. They used longer weapons for wider shots that were made of foam, and weapons that were full length made of steel. So they jumped between each of them shot by shot to basically do what needed to be done for the effects
for that
to
shot.
Work, for the fight
in
to work.
In the Middle Ages, boys would start training with swords when they're about 12 or
So they had a lot
because
of the
amount
base.
Of training and the amount of muscle, because those swords were like.
It was the same with English longbows.
They needed to train continually. So a modern actor just won't have that kind of conditioning.
With a proper English longbow, I think you needed to train from basically a young age to get the back muscles to actually be able to draw it, because they're like 7 foot tall bows. And of course in the Middle Ages people were slightly shorter.
Around about 190 to 100
They actually banned sport because they wanted all the men in the population to be training with their longbows instead of playing sports. So they banned sports. They allowed to play sport around Christmas. So that they trained. They had to train.
I think that's similar to Japanese longbows as well.
Yeah, the Japanese bows are quite similar.
So Japanese longbows are literally the height of the roof to the floor. And
so about like 8
And it's double the length of a regular arrow as well. So when you pull back, you pull back your entire length of the body.
Yeah.
It's wild. It's
really but if they hit someone, they're
Yeah, that's a thing. English longbows were slightly similar, just I don't think bamboo was as effective as oak in terms of bow making.
I don't think it was oak they were using. Apparently there's a Tasmanian eucalypt, which is actually the best wood in the world for bow making. I would imagine bamboo would be really good.
But what's interesting is, in terms of sword fighting, people don't rate the fights. They rate the sword fighter. And they'll go, oh, who, like, Aragorn is number one, and then number two you've got, you know, some get from Game of Thrones or something.
I do think it's a fun sword fight in the first Pirates of the Caribbean movie.
Oh, yeah, Pirates of the Caribbean. They use that type of sword. Again, they're kind of swinging and slashing and stuff.
Yeah, and it's got all the movement, you know, the round things, jumping up and hanging off things.
Swashbuckling.
That's what Sulu does in Star Trek as well.
Yeah, Sulu does a lot of swashbuckling. He's the fencing.
And he keeps it tight as well when he does fight. Like, there is still
a little bit of the flourish.
And I think that was the thing. You guys probably know this. George Takei got the role. They went, oh, you're trained in a... I think the way they phrased it was, like, oh, you know, you're trained in some kind of self-defense or something, whatever they would have used in the 60s. Yeah. And he's like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And they're going, oh, yeah, thinking, oh, he's obviously knows how to use martial arts. Yeah. And then when it came down to it, it's like, okay, so what can you do? What are you trained in? Oh, I can fence. And they're like, okay. Fine, we can work with this. Yeah. And that's then became the character because they, like they do with Star Trek, they take the skills from what they've got and they use it.
Be a samurai
Guy. Oh, like, we thought we were going to have some guy that was going to do all these flips and kicks and punches and stuff, and it's like, okay, let's go fit some sword.
I just saw it differently. I heard it basically, it was the naked, and basically it was the one where they basically have, and they thought, oh, we'll give you a samurai sword to go around with, and he's like, why do a stereotype? I know how to fence. And that was a lie.
I thought he did know how to fence.
No, there's a lie. Like, over the weekend he learnt how to just to do that.
It's probably, either one is probably just as valid.
Done with Shang-Chi. The actor for Shang-Chi in the recent Marvel movie, I can't remember his name.
Simu Liu?
Yeah. He was us, like, do you know how to do any martial arts? And he downplayed his martial arts skills because he didn't want to reinforce that stereotype in Hollywood. But he did, he knew how to do it.
Yeah, but he downplayed it
all the time to not reinforce the stereotype.
Yeah. Great Shang-Chi for Mackenzie to watch.
Oh, yeah, and I think we've watched that one as a family.
Nice,
good. And that's it. I prefer this to quite a few of the other Marvel movies. But then Marvel, those types of movies are just not my thing. Simu Liu, I'm trying to think of the show. I watched the show that he was in before he was in the Marvel movie, and it's like a Canadian TV show, and it is, they run a convenience store.
Oh, Kim's Convenience.
Kim's Convenience. He's so good in there. The whole family are brilliant. Mm. Such a good show.
I've been meaning to see that for a while, but it's
really good.
Yet to get around to it.
And it's like the whole thing of Korean-Canadian family, like a second-generation family, but there's no stereotypes. And when there are stereotypes, they really, like, not make fun of it, but just go, like, nah, guys, we're Canadian. Like, it's fine. Like, you know, it really reminds me of a lot of stuff, you know, and it's probably the same for people who watch it in England and America, US, but definitely Australia, like second generation migrant families and things like that.
Well, we're fourth generation, we're all migrant families.
Indigenous Australians, obviously.
Australians, obviously, but very few of us have.
It's wild how indignant white people can get when it comes to that sort of thing. It's like, we've been here forever. No, mate, you've only been here
There's very shallow roots.
How about you get yourself off your high kangaroo and take a step back, mate?
So back to the movie, though.
What do you think of all that?
I
Slept through.
So I will be honest, I slept through this, but I actually wanted to mention something that our friend Luke, who you don't know,
and I'll never meet apparently.
Yes,
yeah. Never make it into the inner circle.
About watching this a couple of weekends ago.
So we were at his place, and he'd never seen the movie before, and they were going to put on a horror movie, which I just was not vibing. I'm not a horror person.
Doesn't matter.
But, yeah. And so we convinced them to put on Princess Bride instead. And it was the first time he'd seen it.
Oh, that would have been magical. Said, I thought that the movie hit its peak within like 30 minutes.
Yeah.
But it just kept climbing and climbing.
Yeah.
And even by the end, it still hadn't finished climbing. Like, it was still a really good movie. Like, it was well-rounded. It was really enjoyable to watch. Characters were fun. And I think that that's a really good takeaway from someone who hasn't seen it before and sits in the same age bracket as Angus and myself, between mid-25s and 30-year-old sort of thing. Like, it is a really enjoyable show, and I can guarantee you that it holds up today. Just with how the others reacted to it.
Oh, that answers that question.
It's a really enjoyable film. I've been trying to get my sister to watch it. I don't know if she has yet.
Oh, she'd enjoy it.
Yeah, yeah.
There's nothing that feels aged in it.
And because it's set in the past as well, I think it's kind of kept its...
But it's really well done. So the costumes, and the costume designer for this also designed the costumes for Henry V, Kenneth Branagh's Henry V, and we used a couple. The costume's beautifully designed. They're not entirely historically accurate, but it's fantasy.
It doesn't need to be.
But they're really good for what they are.
And
the settings, like I noticed the fire in the centre of the dining room. Not a fireplace. Fire in the centre of the room. That's... Classic medieval.
But also things like special effects, that the rodents of unusual size. You look at them and you go, how did they do that? Is that someone in a suit?
It's literally a dude in a suit. They had a short guy in a suit.
It doesn't look like that. Yeah. It looks like...
And it's funny watching movies on high def, like when some of the streaming services, and they've converted to high def, and like we watched even Lord of the Rings recently and Back to the Future, and I'm going, this holds up, this is so good. And then she's like, on, look at that dodgy special effect. And I'm like,
To be fair, at the beginning of the movie, we're like, look at that awful video game.
I think that this would count as a timeless piece.
Oh, yes.
And I know that I may miff some people here, but I think you could go back and redo it. But do it in like a thematic style of like a sci-fi version of this or something like that would be fun. That is the only way you could go back and do this story
otherwise. You would have to change the entire setting.
There are a shortage of perfect films in this world.
No, it's not ruining it though. It's the only way you could go back and visit it. It's like Pride and Prejudice. You can go back and revisit it as Pride, Prejudice and Zombies, and make it different and make it its own.
I agree, absolutely.
Films stands alone perfectly.
Yes.
It is timeless. It didn't need animation to hold it up.
No.
Because what it uses is great.
Yeah.
And like Lord of the Rings will feel dated to Mackenzie because you can see where all the CGI is because her eye is trained with better CGI now. The Harry Potter series, that's fine up to a point. But things like Labyrinth, The Dark Crystal, things that use solely puppetry and don't rely as much on current CGI effects.
And I think that's the thing. It's the physical effects hold up better now than than old CGI.
Yes.
But it doesn't even need to be really old CGI. Right. Even 10-year-old CGI can look trashy.
Like, if you've ever watched Casper the Friendly Ghost or Flubber, there is actually a difference between the two. Casper the Friendly Ghost, I remember that being amazing CGI. It is awful. I went back, watched it. Terrible. Flubber...
You liked it, didn't you?
Casper the Friendly Ghost.
You can't even remember.
Flubber... The animators animated the shadowing reflection of Flubber into all surfaces around. So I watched, like, there's a dance scene that's completely animated with this green jelly thing. And, you see the reflection of Flubber in the surfaces. You see the slight green tinge on whatever it touches. And so it makes it better and stands up better in comparison to Casper the Friendly Ghost.
Yes.
Also, Flubber has... Robin Williams in it, so I mean,
I still have never seen Flubber, but I saw Casper in the cinema.
I saw Casper in both in the cinema, actually. I was that young.
But yeah, it's timeless.
And Jeanette, what did you think?
Is it still the same movie you remember? It's
the same movie.
Absolutely. A better every time I watch it, I think. It just gets better and better the more you watch it. It's just, it is such a beautiful movie. I love
it. It is.
Every aspect. And I do think that was perhaps the best version we've watched. We have watched some pretty
bad recordings of it over the past. So I was catching details that I hadn't noticed before, I think. But it's funny because the music, and I should have said in the introduction, music is by Mark Knopfler of Dust Raids.
Yes, that's right, yes.
And I've been watching another film that he wrote the score to, Local Hero, which is a it's a film, Brit Flick, with Peter Capaldi, one of his first roles.
Yeah.
So, and it's got, I love Local Hero. But now the music just sounds the same. Because it's got that Dire Straits sound. The music tend to be a bit same.
And also it's just...
So the music kept giving me, Local Hero, every time I heard the music.
Oh, that's
yeah, and the music just sounds to me like it's just electronic... 80s
it's
stuff.
Yeah.
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 So that's probably the most dated part of it.
It's Lady Hawk.
Lady Hawk is awful.
Lady Hawk is incredibly
I've still
bad.
Never watched it, but I'd love to watch that for the schlock value.
Yeah,
I think that film's very schlocky.
You do have to watch it.
Because
that's
the one with Michelle Pfeiffer, isn't it?
Yeah, Michelle Pfeiffer, Matthew Broderick.
If you want schlock, just watch Conan.
Honestly, I will bet my life on this. Watch Conan over Lady Hawk, because Conan actually has a story that is fun. Arnold Schwarzenegger isn't that bad an actor.
Yeah.
In it, and like everything about it is really well rounded and enjoyable, and I found it so good. I watched 10 minutes of Lady Hawk and went, kill me now, let's watch anything else. Let's put Conan back.
Watch both.
No.
But the funny thing is with Lady Hawk is the electronic music is over the entire film really quite loudly.
So
it does indeed make it completely unwatchable because you just.
Hear
this sound. Matthew Broderick's great. Michelle Pfeiffer's not bad.
Is it kind of like Never Ending Story synth?
No, it's worse.
No, it's like Knight Rider.
Oh, no!
it's like sci-fi music.
Yeah, Knight Rider.
Yeah.
Sounds like some dodgy 80s Rick Wakeman that Dad used to listen to, you know, that kind of...
The storyline's not... atrocious-ish. It's a little bit basic,
hated
but
the characters
it's fun.
In it.
Yeah.
Like, there was a lot that I didn't like about it right from the get-go. And I think it was because it had Bueller in it.
Bueller's Day Off, yes. Well, that kind of thief in cinema is the kind of thief they generally show now.
It was an attempt to be edgy and cool.
It
was like the Hood movie where they had people wearing modern-day sweatshirts with hoodies for Robin Hood.
With the riot police. They've got like riot shields and stuff.
And they
Robin
had like
Hood.
A random Afghanistan war in it. That's what it
yeah,
felt.
Yeah, they were going around to Afghanistan, Iraq with their long British longbows sort of thing. And there was a repeating crossbow ballista machine gun emplacement shooting at them. And they're like, create a distraction. I'll make my way around.
I feel like Lady Hawk was like a serious version of Princess Bride or like Willow or something like that. I think I would have walked into that not knowing what I was in for.
Yeah, it's real bad.
It's worth having a look.
I think I'd enjoy that.
So, Angus, do you agree with Mackenzie's assessment of this movie?
Pineapple on Pizza. I mean, it is actually a pretty decent summary. But I'd say it's just because, from my own personal perspective, this movie is just a staple of life. Something you can't live comfortably without. So I'm just going to say, because it's such a core requirement of existence, it's got to be pancakes.
Pancakes.
Yeah.
So it's very syrupy as well.
Yeah. No. Not maple syrup on pancakes. Don't be disgusting. Strawberry jam and cream.
So scones.
No, pancakes.
See, I prefer scones.
Scones.
I think it's better for scone completely out of rails.
I would say scones.
Kenzie, would you?
I pronounce it pancakes, so...
I pronounce it pancakes, so...
Kenzie, would
you... Are you just mimicking me now? Are you bullying me?
Mm-hmm. Would you try and introduce this to your friends, The Princess Bride?
Would you recommend it?
Would you advise it to your friends?
Would I? Would they want to watch it? Absolutely not. Would I want them to watch it? It's happened lots of times when I want them to watch a movie. They just want to play it.
Yeah, I was just thinking, is there a movie we've introduced you recently, a classic cult movie that you would recommend to a friend? But I actually know she had a friend round last week and tried to convince her friend to sit down and watch Coraline with her because that's one of her favourite movies.
She watched like 40 minutes of it.
Oh, she did? Okay, yeah. I heard you trying to give it a red hot go. Like, seriously, this is such a good movie. You have no idea.
She's watched the trailer and then she's watched like 40 minutes and she's like...
That's a cult movie that's worth adding to the list when it hits 20 years old, because that is a good movie and that is one of your favourites.
So good, man.
I remember a story about that.
I would literally risk my life for it to be, alive in like the 30,000s.
You know what is a cult classic now is Nightmare Before Christmas.
Oh, yes.
That's a Halloween special short.
I've still not watched Nightmare Before Christmas the whole way through.
Yeah, okay.
No, I haven't.
I know all of the kind of things about it that people talk about, but I've not actually sat down and watched it properly from start to finish. Haven't you? You've watched that movie from start to finish.
Watched what?
Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah,
I still haven't.
I watched it like 3 or 4 years ago for the first time. Really good.
Yeah, okay.
If you so take it away, Chief.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do we do a whip round and what was everyone's favourite scene? Favourite quote? Favourite moment?
Favourite quote.
Okay.
Of the podcast or of the movie?
Of the movie.
Of the movie.
I wanted to do my thing at the start of the podcast.
Well, that was a quote from the movie, so you can still do that. So, Mackenzie, what's your favourite quote?
What's his name again?
My name.
Inigo Montoya.
Inigo.
Inigo. My name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die.
Oh, yes.
Anyone else?
Mine is life is pain. Anyone who says differently is selling
yourself. Yeah, I
know. I like as you wish, and it was at that moment Princess Buttercup realised that he meant I love you, because I use that so often.
So, favourite part of the movie?
Lizzie, I've got two. So, Inconceivable is by far. It's just great. Yeah. It's just him continually going, Inconceivable is just great. But the one I always use is Have Fun Storming the Castle. Every time someone leaves to do anything, I have fun storming the castle.
Always sounds like a euphemism, though. Yeah. Like, I've never seen this movie beforehand. Yeah. So, whenever they were like, we go out on a date, they'd go, oh, have fun storming the castle. I'd be like, is that a euphemism for life?
That it really literally just means have fun storming the castle.
Any favourite sayings, Jeanette?
Oh, I don't know. It's so hard. I love the beginning when they're on the boat. I do not think him is what you think him is.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just,
well, the inconceivable one?
Yeah. I do not think it means what
the
you
thing
think
is that the film is so quotable.
It is. Yeah. So many quotes.
It's just so many quotes that come out of it.
Alex?
Yeah, I think I just like the moment of like Wesley beating Inigo and then just being so jovial about beating Fezzik, and it gets to Vizini and it's obvious that he's just an arse and like, okay. and basically beats him like, ha, don't miss on the Sicilian when death's on the line.
Yes!
Yeah, it's obvious that
that is another good line. After defeating Inigo, I would rather destroy a stained glass window than an artist.
Yes.
That's a good one. Solid. Lisa.
Oh, and so there's so many good ones that have been taken.
It's why I was so insistent on going immediately after Mackenzie.
Well, I always cut in first, so this was good for me to step back and let everyone say their piece. So, yeah. And even that sword fight at the end, and it's like, promise me riches, promise me wealth, promise me. It's like, anything, everything I have is yours. I want my father back, you son of a bitch. I'm like, yes!
Is that your quote?
I really like
that part of the movie when he kills the six-fingered man.
Is that a quote, though?
Yeah.
I really like when they're falling out of the window, like jumping out of the window at the end, because there's this just beautiful flowy scene with Buttercup, and you're like, that's just beautiful. Yeah. It is. It's how I want to do everything. In my mind, I go into the shower and there's just this beautiful flowy, like, I don't look like that, I know, but still, like, damn.
So that was Princess Bride, and we'll catch you on the next episode.
Yep. Have fun storming the castle.
Bye.
Bye. We'll be right back.